This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. We have an email contest going on right now. Booth, B-O-O-T-H, at 610sports.com. The question is, what's the biggest lie that you've been caught up in? If you have been following the news, Jussie Smollett, from the television show Empire, is in a world of trouble. He concocted this story about being assaulted by two individuals who were wearing Make America Great Again hats. They threw bleach on him, put a noose around his neck, and called him racial slurs. We found out that was not the case. He allegedly paid two individuals $3,500 to beat him up because he was unhappy with his contract with Empire. And the police, as you would imagine, are very unhappy about it.
To gain attention by sending a false letter that relied on racial, homophobic, and political language. When that didn't work, Smollett paid $3,500 to stage this attack and drag Chicago's reputation through the mud in the process. And why? The stunt was orchestrated by Smollett because he was dissatisfied with his salary. So he concocted a story about being attacked.
I'm telling you, my man Jussie Smollett, he literally tried to play oppression bingo. Black, I got beat up by Trump supporters. He's also gay. They targeted me because I was gay. They put a noose around my neck. Like, he literally tried to hit every single
rung. With the free space, that's bingo.
He literally tried to hit every rung on the oppression ladder. The ladder has now fallen on him. He is now in jail. He has a $100,000 bond right now to get out, and they took his passport away. Something tells me he is going to go to jail for a very long time. So we got an email contest coming up in 15 minutes. What's the biggest lie you've been caught up in? Booth at 610sports.com. Speaking of court, now we'll get to it coming up in a little bit because your Kansas Jayhawks, they should know something about court. They have their own issues with them over the summer. Bill Self said this earlier today about KU and the Big 12.
And what it does, it puts five teams in the mix that basically have a shot. You know, has a shot. Now, things have to go perfect for teams to go ahead and finish. Because I don't think, my personal opinion is, obviously, four wins. I mean, that's obvious, because even if K-State were to lose another game, they still tie for the championship if they don't lose again. I mean, that's a given. So four is a guarantee to win it, or at least tie for it. And five could be a reality as well. You just don't know. But certainly, if five's a reality, then you got five teams with a chance to win it.
So listening to Bill Self talk about the Big 12, it got me thinking, we haven't done this in a while. BK, hit me.
There's a dispute and we need you to settle it. It's the people's court.
I got a people's court for you. And we have two people. We've got the plaintiff and the defendant. Today's case is, who has more pressure on them to win the Big 12? Is it KU, 14-time champion? Or is it hashtag Emaw, hashtag EcoCats, hashtag Octagon of Doom, the Kansas State Wildcats? First up, we've got the visitor, Sports Machine Sean Levine. Go ahead, sir.
I don't appreciate your tongue-in-cheekness involving court and KU basketball. I'm not saying our football team's going to a bowl game, but at least we're eligible. Just throwing that out there. KU is a team that has more pressure, counsel, jury. They've won 14 straight Big 12 championships. One school's called Kansas, known for their basketball. One school's called Kansas State. By the way, Kansas State, if I'm correct, has never won an outright Big 12 title. Now, they've certainly got a lot of pressure. They went to the Elite Eight last year. They've got a lot of talent through the Wildcats. And if there's ever going to be a year that they're going to knock off KU off their pedestal, this is probably it. But obviously, KU's the team with much more pressure. If for nothing else, if it comes down to the head-to-head matchup, that game's being played at Allen Fieldhouse, where you guys pointed out astutely to me yesterday, KU's only lost five conference home games in the last 10 years. So KU is a team with more pressure.
I turn to my left, and I bring up the plaintiff, Brandon Kiley. Who has more pressure on them to win the Big 12? Is it KU or K-State?
I think it's pretty clearly Kansas State is the team with more pressure on them right now. KU's in this position every year. Every year, KU has to win games down the stretch in order to maintain their class as the head of the Big 12. Look at what they did last year. They were 8-4 through 12 games in the Big 12. Sound familiar? It should, because that's exactly where they were this year. How'd they finish? 5-1 down the stretch in order to win the Big 12. What do they need to do this year? Basically the same exact thing. They need to be able to finish with at least with one loss or fewer in their last six games. That's how they win it. They've done this before. K-State's never been in this position. K-State's won at Kansas like two times in the last 30 years. K-State loses a game like the game against Baylor at home all the time. K-State goes on the road and they'll find a way to lose to TCU. This is the position that KU has found itself in year after year after year. K-State is the one with the pressure on them.
This is what I think. And we'll let you guys in on this. Text line 69306. BK, go ahead and open up the phone lines. This is called People's Court, so we'll take your phone calls on it. 913-576-7610.
It's been a while. Do I get to cross-examine his ass?
Go for
it. Yeah, if you want to.
Okay. Go ahead. You're up.
This feels a lot to me like what used to happen in golf tournaments in the 2000s. K-State is random golfer. You pick them. KU is Tiger Woods. Who has more pressure on Sunday? Is it Tiger, who's one or two shots back, who's got the red on, who we know can make the surge? Or is it the team that's in the lead that hasn't been in this situation before?
David Duval.
That's who I think it is. I think it's K-State. If it's KU, all you got to do is get a share of this thing. Like, Self can say, oh, it's four teams that can win it because they can still get a share of it. No one's going to bring up the share. If you share this thing, everyone will look at you like you're the winner, and you know you still have K-State at home. K-State still got to go to your building, and they ain't winning in your building. And K-State knows they slip up one more time, it's probably curtains out here. I side with Brandon Kiley on this one. I think there's more pressure on K-State than KU because they have the lead, and Tiger in the red with the U.S. Open fist pump is coming hard on the back nine.
Kiley Council, let me remind you guys a couple of things. You say that it's a foregone conclusion. There's no way K-State beats KU on Big Monday. Let me remind you that two of the last three times these teams played inside of Allen Fieldhouse, Barry Brown was taking a wide-open jump shot, and Dean Wade was taking a wide-open jump shot to beat Kansas. So to say it's impossible.
Did they win?
No, they didn't, but could they have? It came down to one shot, absolutely. And K-State's more talented than the aforementioned teams, and KU's less talented. By the way, Brandon, you brought up every year KU's the team that's there, which to me means more pressure. You brought up the fact that this time last year, KU went 5-1 down the stretch. Guess what? KU's not as deep or as talented as last year's team seed out where they went 5-1 down the stretch. And here's my final trump card. If K-State doesn't win the Big 12 this year, big deal. No pressure. K-State wasn't supposed to win the Big 12 this year. If KU doesn't, the sky is falling.
But I will say this for K-State. If K-State doesn't win it this year, when are you ever going to win it? Like, KU will probably just win it next year, and then the year after. They will just start a new streak. If you are K-State and you can't win the Big 12 outright this year, when you've got Dean Wade, when you've got Barry Brown, when you've got all the experience that you have, it's safe to say that Bruce Weber will never win.
You're
that
Judge
conference
Ito. That's it. You're Judge Ito. You're going to let him off the hook. It's just like, hey, if the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit. Okay, you're good. You're good. That's it. That's who you are. You're Judge Ito.
I want to go to the phone line. We'll ask Luke in North Kansas City. It's time for People's Court. Luke, who has more pressure on him down the stretch? Is it KU or K-State?
Oh, it's K-State by far. To me, it's a lot like a gambler that's on tilt. They know that they're losing, but they can't do anything about it, and the pressure is completely on, and they're just going to keep, you know, pressing and trying the same exact things. I mean, KU, they don't care. Like, they know that they've got this thing in the bag and that the machine's going to lose some money to you. And so it's just like, I mean, Case, the reason why they lost to Iowa State was because they were pressing too hard because they know that they're KU's little brother.
And that's Luke in North Kansas City weighing in. He has K-State. That's right up your alley. Was a gambling analogy on tilt.
If anything, KU cares too much. If anything, KU puts too much stock into winning the Big 12 and maybe not quite enough into winning the actual tournament.
I think they put a lot of stock in to win the tournament. It's just really hard to win the tournament.
It's really hard to win the Big 12. People always poo-poo that. Like Buddy Hield and Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin and all these dudes, Michael Beasley, didn't play in the same conference. I understand if they were in the ACC or the Big East, KU ain't trying to win their 15th straight title. But let's not pretend like it's been the Sisters of the Poor that they play every game.
I think this year's KU team would probably finish 7th in the ACC, but that's neither here
Get
nor
the
there.
Hell out of here.
I will say this, though, about the Big 12. That as a Missouri fan, I like to, you know, throw my little shots in at KU. I never want to hear anybody tell me how good the Big 12 is. If this KU team can share this conference, I'd never want to hear how good your conference is.
That's where I almost feel sorry for Bill Self and even KU fans, which is a really weird thing to say. It's like they're supposed to apologize for winning. And that's never the right thing to do. Just because they've been so dominant, that's because they've had the players. That's because they've had the coaching. That's because they've had the talent. That's because they've managed to win these games. Again, it's not like they've had the player of the year in the conference four separate times go against them in this 14-year run. Never has the national player of the year been a Jayhawk.
I'm not saying that they haven't gone up against some good teams. I'm simply saying it. And as a KU
Actually,
fan,
they have Frank Mason. But
who,
before that.
Who? You've been down on this team the whole year.
Oh, yeah,
I
sure.
think this KU team that currently is on the court is like a 6 seed. This current KU team is not very good, not very talented. They got 3 good players. If you're telling me that a team I think is a 6 seed could win your league outright, I'm sorry. Your conference isn't good. Like, there's no other way to put it. I don't have no disrespect towards K-State, no disrespect towards Iowa State, no disrespect towards Texas Tech. If you can't beat the 2018-2019 Kansas Jayhawks, you will never beat another KU team as long as the earth continues to spin.
I will agree with that. If K-State's ever going to win, or Iowa State, or whoever's still in contention, Texas Tech, this is the year to do it. If you don't break the stretch here, it could be another 10, 15, 20 years. We're going to be talking about KU winning 45 straight Big 12 championships.
Coming up in just a little bit, there was something on Bill Simmons' podcast about the Chiefs potentially making a screw it, we're going for it kind of trade. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. And we'll give you another chance to win our email contest. Go ahead and text it in. Booth, B-O-O-T-H, at 610sports.com. What's the biggest lie you've been caught up in? We will read a couple of our suggestions coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Here's a story that maybe only I care about. But if this happens, you will absolutely have to watch this with your wife or girlfriend. Khloe Kardashian is in contention to be the Bachelorette. If Khloe Kardashian is the Bachelorette and there is a show where men are vying for the attention of Khloe Kardashian, I promise you, every Tuesday on the show, I will have an update on it.
I gotta be honest, I will watch that.
I will have a podcast
about
this. I
hate both you guys.
A legitimate podcast about this.
Is it in your contract that you have to mention the Kardashians at least once a show?
I just think right now they're in the news. It's interesting.
To
I
you?
Mean, you tell me what you want to talk about. Whit Merrifield?
Yeah, let's talk about Whit.
What do you want to talk about?
Danny Duffy.
K-State, Oklahoma State.
Not
you want
Kylie
to talk about that?
Jenner.
What do you want to talk about?
The Bachelorette.
I mean, if you want to break down Sporting Kansas City soccer game on February 21st, I'm here to talk about Khloe Kardashian being in The Bachelorette. That's what I'm here talking about. Coming up in a little bit, we'll actually talk about very important things as the Chiefs. So it was kind of floated on Bill Simmons' podcast about a screw it, we're going to try to win the Super Bowl trade maybe the Chiefs should make. I'll give you the one I would like them to make. We'll also talk about how Brandon only thinks that there's 3 good players on the Chiefs' defense. We'll talk about that. But we have an email contest going on right now. Speaking of reality TV stars, he might need his own reality TV show from jail. Booth at 610sports.com, B-O-O-T-H at 610sports.com. What is the biggest lie that you've been caught up in? Jesse Smollett got himself caught up in a very big lie. We got an email contest with our favorite ones. We're taking 2 winners. One gets $25 to Gates. The other one gets $25 to Old Shiny Pizza. BK, give us your favorites.
So here's a few for you. The first one is from Nick. He says, I told people in 7th grade I wrote a song for Rascal Flatts. I then carried it on by telling them that they invited me on stage to play at an upcoming concert. The jig was up when another kid's parents called my mom to congratulate me on such an awesome honor.
That's a great one, only because he had it, man. It was in the bag. He had his schoolmates and his boys believing it, but it's always the parents that end up screwing us, isn't it?
Always.
Always.
Always. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of you heard this from your mom, too, of... I've been your age. You've never been mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good line. This one's from TJ. He says, one time I told my fiance I was at work when I was really at Twin Peaks. Let's just say that I found out extremely fast that she had turned on my location and could track me. Damn you, iPhone. Safe to say I haven't lied about my location ever since or been to Twin Peaks ever since.
Can you turn the music down really quickly? Because I legitimately have a question.
Bad guys, decision there. Twin Peaks is great.
I got a question, fellas. I'm not married. BK, you're in a six-year relationship. You're basically Corey and Topanga. You got to lie to go to Twin Peaks? I'm serious. You got to lie to go to Twin Peaks?
Well, he did say he was supposed to be at work.
I'm just saying, I can see lying to go to, like, Magic City. Or you got to lie to go to Bonita Flats or Bazookas. You got to lie to go to a restaurant?
The outhouse. You got to lie. Before. You never been to the outhouse. You never lived.
You had to lie to go to a restaurant? You're telling me your marriage isn't stable enough that you can't tell your wife, hey, I'm going to get something to eat. I'm going to grab a 12-piece of wings over at Twin Peaks, and it's no big deal.
I think it depends on what your job is, BK. If you stuff the UPS truck from midnight to 4 in the morning, then at that time, you don't really have to lie to your wife. But if you're supposed to be an accountant, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
You're going with the boys to Twin Peaks. I don't understand why this is such a big deal.
You're supposed to be working.
Again, I don't know.
Making money, not spending it.
Well, again, but I mean.
Just say I'm going to Twin Peaks with my buddies.
But, so text line 69306. When you're married, you have to lie to go anywhere. I mean this in all seriousness. Married people make marriage sound like the absolute worst experience. I don't want to be tied to any individual in which I can't go to Twin Peaks. Like, I don't know if you guys been to Twin Peaks or not. It ain't the strip club. I can understand if your wife doesn't want you going to the strip club. I understand if your wife doesn't want you around naked women.
I think you're missing the point. Old boy was supposed to be at work being the breadwinner, yeah, making money for the family.
I know, but I'm saying is the fact that you even have to lie. Most normal people would just go to Twin Peaks after work. It wouldn't be a big deal to lie. You got to lie
for a happy hour at Twin Peaks. I'm going to grab a couple of drinks.
You got to lie to go to Twin Peaks.
Is it normal for your significant other to have your location turned on where he or she knows? To me, that's the bigger problem, where there's not a trust factor, where they have to know where you are every second of every day. You don't even have the ability to lie because of the damn GPS and the iPhone.
I can't lie based on the job that I have. I can't be like, yo, I'm at work today. Oh, I turned on the radio. Yeah, you weren't there. Text line 69306. If I texted my girl I was at Twin Peaks or Hooters, that would definitely start an argument, especially if she thought I was at work. Again,
That's not the kind of relationship I want, honestly. If that's going to be a problem, then
I'm not with a girl that's turned on my location on my phone.
For Twin Peaks. I'm not saying you got to tell your wife everything. I'm not telling you to lie to her. I'm just not saying you got to tell her everything. Twin Peaks should be one of those things that should get grandfathered in. You're out here, you're being faithful, and you're doing what you're supposed to do. She can't let you go to Twin Peaks.
The pot roast is unbelievable. Like, I understand why he didn't go to work. The pot roast is phenomenal.
The blonde beer is good. Like, yeah. It's a good spot.
You're right.
Text line 69306. CDOT, I won the pop quiz a while ago, and the prize was a gift card to Twin Peaks. I'm married, so I didn't even bother to pick it up. Bro.
Can we give it to old boy.
Let us know who you are so we can use that.
Bro. Send me an email.
I know somebody you could use it. The guy who just emailed us.
No,
his wife would never know he was there. She checked the credit card statement. She thinks he's at work. He's good. That's the guy who needs the damn gift card.
Send me an email and we'll get you a gift card to someplace other than Twin Peaks. I had no clue that Twin Peaks was getting you guys in such trouble in which you had to lie to your significant other to go get a beer and some chicken wings.
Gift cards. I didn't know it was that serious. Gift cards have been getting men out of trouble since 1996.
Let's see what other emails we got. I like that one, number one, so far.
Yeah, that's good. That was a good one.
Just because I feel bad for that guy.
I got to lie
to go to Twin Peaks, bro.
This one's from Travis. He says, I drove to Philly for the Chiefs game back in 2013. I was 21. My car was in my dad's name still. They didn't know I was going until a few weeks later. Why did they know I was going? A bill was mailed to my parents' house because I mistakenly drove past the toll booth in New Jersey. I met them at a Pizza Hut for dinner a few weeks later. And at which point they put the bill on the table. Busted.
I appreciate how the parents handled that, right? They weren't upfront about it. They didn't call him out. They took him out to dinner. He was feeling good about himself. And then they just put it out there. And my parents have done this before, where I remember in high school I got caught up in a real big lie. And, like, my parents knew the entire time I was lying. It's much more painful at the very end when they sit you down and they're like, we know what you've been doing this whole time, son. Tolls will get you every time, too.
BK, pick whichever you want.
Tolls will screw you every time.
Text line. I wanted to talk about actual sports, but somehow this segment is derailed, but it's very entertaining to me. Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. Hopefully you don't got to lie to the wife about going to Protein House. I've had this argument for years. Should you and your significant other have GPS on one another? Some of my friends do. Some don't. I think it's ridiculous. Again, I am no relationship expert. I wouldn't really take any of my advice. I can't imagine not being confident enough in my relationship where I feel like I would need GPS on where you are.
Sounds unhealthy.
I don't care where you are. You know what you're doing. And I wouldn't be with you if I didn't trust you to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's number one. And then, who are you, my PO? Well, I got to check. Was his house arrest? Why do you have GPS on me? Why do you need to know every single where that I go?
I feel like they have GPS tracking for people with kids. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. If you want to track where your 14, 15, 16-year-old kid is at all hours, I'm not a parent either, but that would make total sense. I agree with you, though. If your significant other needs to track you by GPS, probably time to break up.
Yeah, we've got bigger issues. If you can't go to Twin Peaks and you got to be on GPS the whole time, we've got bigger issues that we probably need to discuss.
Again, I completely understand why your wife wouldn't want you to go to the strip club. I get that. You know, some of you guys, there's no way you could tell your wife that you went to the strip club. Or, hey, maybe you got a guy's trip and your buddies want to go out to the strip club. You can't go.
Which everybody listening has done at some point on a fantasy football trip, I think. I remember being at the Lake of the Ozarks and, like, guy by guy would step outside individually and call their wife. Be like, yeah, honey, we're having a great time. We're about to go on the pontoon again. We're all headed to the strip club. We've all done that.
I just can't imagine not being able to go to Twin Peaks. Like the most harmless thing. What's next? Now she's going to tell you who you can follow on Twitter. Now she's going to tell you who you can't follow on Instagram. Now she's going to be checking your internet search history because I know that's foul. If you go to Twin Peaks, you definitely got a nasty Twitter history. You definitely got a nasty internet search if you go to Twin Peaks to eat. A filthy one.
A first date tried that not too long ago. Wanted to see my internet search history. I wasn't willing to budge.
Especially if you're lying about going to Twin Peaks. You absolutely use, was that incognito mode? 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Our winners are Brock and TJ. So congratulations to Brock and TJ. It was the convenience store backing up into the trash can and then the guy that went to the Twin Peaks.
But hold on, they are not the winners. Oh. They are our two right now. We'll do it one
more
time
in the
5 o'clock
hour. Clubhouse.
We'll do it one more time in the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll see if those are the winners. Coming up in just a little bit on the Bill Simmons podcast, they were talking about the Chiefs potentially making a screw it, we're going for it kind of trade, but I think they picked the wrong player. I'll tell you who coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
My bad. I thought I had turned
on. If you turn your microphone on, you're not just talking to me. You talk to the rest of the city.
I literally hit a button, so I must have not been looking.
You see that BK? He was talking to just me for about a minute there.
I didn't know what was happening.
No, I literally looked over at him, and I looked down. I hit the button, so I must have hit the off button, and then I started talking. So, no, that's my bad.
They just told us that the phones aren't working anymore. I was like, oh, no.
Brandon, that was freaking out over there.
No, I swear I've been doing this for a long time. I know how to turn the microphone on.
So what were you saying?
I don't know how we got on this conversation at all. I legitimately have no clue how we got on this, but it kind of...
It blew up.
It evolved into your wife tracking you on GPS, which sounds like she's about to put a chip in you like you're a dog. So this is what we got on the text line. Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. My wife for a month tried to get me to download this tracking app. I said, no, I'm a grown-ass man. Then the girls at her job said, I must be hiding something if I don't want it on my phone. Well, I now have it on my phone. You have to pick your battles when you're married. You guys, I'm telling you, the text line makes marriage sound like the absolute worst
That's
thing
a tough
that
one,
you
though.
Could ever sign
That's
up
a tough
for.
One, though, because you don't just want to break up with her because she wants you to get that, whatever it is, app tracking device on your phone. But then again, you have to tell her a good reason why you don't want the tracking device on your phone. That's tough, too.
She's about to get you a dog collar. That's literally what's coming up next. So, Kevin Clark was on the Bill Simmons podcast and was talking about Antonio Brown to the Chiefs.
When I spoke to Brett Feach earlier in the year about Mahomes and how to build an offense around him, he literally said the player he looks at when he's scouting wide receivers is Antonio Brown. Because what you have, he said, you have to put receivers on your board who can extend a play and almost, it's almost like hoops. You have to know exactly where they are. You have to know exactly the chemistry when you're throwing to a guy. And he was like, you look at Antonio Brown, he's the best to ever do it. what they're looking for. So if you're looking for an Antonio Brown type in the draft every single year and Antonio Brown becomes available, maybe it's the kind of thing where you say, you know what, screw it. Let's just give up a second round pick and see what happens. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Again, they'll have $25 million in cap space. They're going to tag D Ford. I'm just saying if you want to go all in on a rookie contract.
That's not the rookie contract I would go all in for.
I'm talking about Mahomes as the rookie contract.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. My bad. I got to rephrase it.
That is the one I'd go all in.
That's not the contract that I would go all in on, Antonio Brown's contract. That's not the one. Jalen Ramsey would be the one. If you're telling me if they're going to make a major trade this offseason to go get somebody and maybe spend a first-round pick, because I don't think that the Steelers, who are trying to also go to the Super Bowl, are trading Antonio Brown, their best offensive player, to, other than the Patriots, their biggest contender in the AFC, unless they're getting a first-round pick. They're going to have to feel like they hit the Chiefs over the head, I think, to make that deal. So I don't think they're trading him to the Chiefs. But it's a fun hypothetical. If you're telling me this offseason they make a major trade, I'm not trading for Antonio Brown, I'm trading for Jalen Ramsey. If I'm the Chiefs, I offer up a first and maybe a fourth-round draft pick to go get Jalen Ramsey. I think that you can make a case that he is the best cornerback in the NFL. The best cornerback in the NFL. You've got good wide receivers. You've got good offensive pieces. That would just be getting richer when it comes to offensively. You want to talk about drastically changing this defense. You want to change the conversation around your team. Go get Jalen Ramsey. Go get one of the five best defensive players in the NFL. That's a screw it. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. To hell with paying them long term. That's what the Rams would do. That's what the Bears just did. That's the kind of move I want to see Kansas City make if they're going to make that kind of work.
I don't think that would happen because even though I think they're wrong, Jacksonville believes that last year was the exception to the rule. Remember, they were in the AFC Championship game just a year before. I don't think that this offseason there are teams like Jacksonville or anybody that are willing to part with. Would you consider Jalen Ramsey a top 10 player in the NFL regardless of position?
Probably so. Probably
somebody
like
that's that good in their 10, prime, yeah. You don't just trade away, even if you can get back a first and a fifth round pick. I think we're going to be talking about guys like Tyrann Mathieu based on either they're a free agent or the team that they play on. Jacksonville's a bad football team, see that, but I don't think that they think they're as bad as they are. They ain't getting rid of Jalen Ramsey in the offseason.
I agree with you. I'm just simply saying is to go off the cut, if you're going to make that, if Brett Veach is thinking of, I got to make a splash, I got to go make a move, I am much more inclined to overpay for someone like Jalen Ramsey than to overpay for Antonio Brown. They don't need Antonio Brown.
No.
Would he be nice to go get? Yeah, obviously. I would love to have him just as a player. Now, I don't really trust how he fits in the locker room, but just as a player, if Veach thinks it can work and Reed thinks it'll work and all that kind of stuff, and they trade for Antonio Brown, I'm not going to be here the one to say, I can't believe they got one of the five best wide receivers in the NFL. But I think that's costing a first-round pick. I'm using that on a stud impact defensive player if they're going to do it. That's what I would do. I think we've seen over the last, 12 months, we've seen two major impact defensive trades. We saw Khalil Mack, so that's the absolute ceiling of it. I don't think you can trade for a defensive player and give up more in compensation than what the Bears gave up for Khalil Mack. And then we saw what Marcus Peters was worth, a 2 and a 4. You're telling me that Jalen Ramsey, you can't get him for 1 and a 4. That's just the direction I would go if I want to say I'm all in on getting a defensive player.
And it's not Jalen Ramsey, he said specifically. It's any frontline defensive player that you think can make this defense better, which is pretty much anybody. It's weird to say that I'm not interested in a trade for Antonio Brown, but, bro, I'm not. I mean, honestly, what are we talking about? The Chiefs scored almost 36 points per game this season. If you add maybe the best wide receiver in football, then what? You score 38 points per game? Defensively, you were one of the worst defenses, not just in franchise history, but in league history. I don't know why we're even wasting our breath talking about the Chiefs adding one part to the offense when they pretty much need to change every part on the defense, not name Chris Jones.
So, we're talking about good players that play defense with Jalen Ramsey. BK told me today he thinks there's only three good players on the Chiefs defense. I disagree with him. Now, maybe I'm overvaluing the parts on the Chiefs team. I actually think there's some good parts there. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you guys. I don't think there's a lot of good parts on the defense. I think there's probably like 5 to 7 good parts on the defense and parts worth salvaging. BK thinks there's only three.
So the way that I would frame it is there's only three guys that I think, no matter what, they need to be here next year. Chris Jones is one of them. I would add D Ford to that mix, and then I would put Kendall Fuller on the list. And after that, I could be convinced it's time to move on from Justin Houston. I could understand if you think the, whatever it is, $3 million that you save by cutting Alan Bailey is worth it. I could totally understand if you say, you know what, it's time to move on from Eric Berry. Those are probably the next best players on this defense, and I could be convinced either way on whether they should or should not be here. The only three that I think have to be with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2019 are Chris Jones, Dee Ford, and Kendall Fuller.
I'll throw these out there because I agree with you at the core. That's probably it. But I would say is there's probably three or four other players that I would like to be a part of this thing moving forward. A guy like Charvarius Ward, a guy like Trevon Smith, a guy like Jordan Lucas. Young enough pieces, good enough contracts that I would like for them to be part of the foundation of this defense moving forward. That, I'd be really curious to see once you get out of Bob Sutton, once you have a new scheme, how those players fit in that system. So those would be some of the guys I would like for this defense to keep.
If Ward, Smith, and Lucas walked in here in uniform, I wouldn't know who they are. They're not that valuable to this football team. When it comes to actual production, I can completely agree with you, BK, and it's obvious. Chris Jones, right? He's still on his rookie contract. The guy had, a sack in 15 straight games. That's obvious. Dee Ford is also really obvious. Not that I believe in him going forward, but the franchise tag was made for the Chiefs situation and Dee Ford. The franchise doesn't know if they want him around long term, but he's a productive player, so you pay him. So those are two obvious moves. Then I think both you guys are stretching. I'm surprised that you were able to come up with three, and I'm surprised you were able to come up with three more. When we're talking about guys like Kendall Fuller,
I think there's
has
more
to be on this football team next year. Why? He was okay. To me, that's kind of like saying Reggie Ragland has to be on this football team next year, or Justin Houston has to be on this football team next year. In theory, would it make them better? Sure. But is the defense going to all of a sudden get much worse, which is hard to do, if Justin Houston or Reggie Ragland or the aforementioned Kendall Fuller is not on the team? I don't think so. The only two guys you have to have on this defense are Chris Jones and Dee Ford.
Kendall Fuller, though, is just different because he's cheap, he's young, and he should be on the ascent of his career. He's 24 years old. So I don't see you getting better from that by getting rid of Kendall Fuller. I think it's harder to replace
But him. I would say that we're using two different words. Have to have, I'm with you. I think those are the ones you have to have.
Fair.
Would like to have a guy like O'Daniel. He'd be someone I like to have next year. Young, rangy linebacker, a guy that can do a lot of things. A guy like Armani Watts, who was playing good football the first half of the season, got injured. Now, I'm not saying he's not Eric Berry. He's not a necessity. He's not a need for this team. But a guy that I would like to have for next year, a guy who I would like to see grow, a guy who I would like to see develop. I think we're talking about two different things. Guys they need Chris Jones. They need Dee Ford. They need Kendall Fuller. Guys that I think are part of a good young foundation where if this defense is going to take a step forward, that comes down to your young guys on rookie deal, your basement, or not the basement players, your bargain players. Those are going to be the ones that eventually propel you to the Super Bowl, aside from your quarterback.
Yeah, I didn't know we were talking about guys that we really haven't seen. In the case of Dorian O'Daniel, of course I want to see. The Chiefs just drafted him. I want to see if he's worth what they chose him. Same thing with Armani Watts. Same thing with Derek Nnadi. I thought you were talking about the established players. The Chiefs spent every single draft pick last year on the defensive side of the ball. A couple of those guys got on the field. Of course I want to see those guys get playing time and see what they're worth.
Coming up in just a little bit, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't really know how to tease this segment properly, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's about the biggest story right now in the country. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get back to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Probably the top story in the country, at least the story that has people talking about the most, is the Jussie Smollett situation. If you're unaware of the story, he lied about a hate crime. He has now been found that he was lying. The Chicago police today, they had a press conference. The jig is up. It kind of reminded me of Scooby-Doo when they pull the mask over the guy and he's like, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You would have got away with it if it wasn't for the meddling police. If you guys missed it.
Shout out to Velma.
So he said this happened, right? He then went on Good Morning America. Now, think about this. This is now knowing that the story is completely made up. Listen to this and tell me this isn't some of the best acting you've ever seen or heard in your entire life. This is from his Good Morning America interview with Robin Roberts.
Let's just hope that they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not go there yet. Let's I was talking to a friend and I said, I just want them to find them. And she said, sweetie, they're not gonna find them. And that just made me so angry because, so I'm just gonna be left here with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going to be left here with, like, so they get to go free. And, go about their life and possibly attack someone else, and I'm here to left with the aftermath of this bull, that's not cool to me. That's not okay. So I understand how difficult it will be to find them, but we gotta. I still want to believe, with everything that has happened, that there's something called justice.
I mean, there was some public justice. You're just at the center of the public justice. They found them. They found that you paid them $3,500 to beat you up. And then it got me thinking, what are some of my favorite crying scenes of all time? Because if you can go on there, Good Morning America, and tell us this elaborate story about, baby, they're not going to find him. I just hope we get justice. I got to live with this. I'm telling you, he was putting on the best acting I've seen since Heath Ledger.
He had the lip quiver going. He even had the lip quiver.
It was all time. So we made a list of our favorite crying scenes in movies. This is Jesse Smollett's performance on Good Morning America was the best crying scene I've seen since Viola Davis in Fences. Her monologue to Denzel Washington is the best crying scene I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's not easy for me to admit that I've been standing in the same place for 18 years.
Well, I've been standing with you. I've been right here with you, Troy. I got a life too. I gave 18 years of my life to stand in the same spot as you.
I mean, he was crying. She had the snot bubble. Viola Davis, she got that role. You know, now she deserved that Oscar. She earned it. But I'm telling you, the performance that he put on, it was the best cry scene since Viola Davis in Fences.
Well, it was a good one. I don't know if it was the best. The crying scene from E.T. is a classic. Of course, the one-liner, there's no crying in baseball, and Castaway, I think. Didn't Tom Hanks cry when he lost old Wilson? But to me, BK, the best crying scene in the history of the movies, well, just go ahead and play it.
We fish a lot, and every night we read a book. She's so smart, Jenny. You'd be so proud of him. I am. He wrote you a letter. And he says, I can't read it. I'm supposed to, so I just leave it here for you.
That's a crying scene right there. That might be the best movie and the best crying scene of all time. Jenny?
You know that I believe that Jenny made that whole story up, right? I think her
What's
story,
your theory?
I think her story was very similar to Jussie Smollett.
You're comparing Jenny from Forrest Gump to Jesse Smollett.
I think they're actually about the same.
Bring it on, yeah. Okay.
I think that Jenny created a story because she didn't know who the father was, and that's not Forrest's kid. But she always knew that we saw time and time again, whenever she was in trouble, that Forrest would always come to her rescue. I think she trapped Forrest. I think she was pregnant whenever she showed up. Remember, she shows up at his house, and then she's sleeping all the time. I think she knew. I think she was pregnant right then and there. Oh. She finally slept with Forrest. And then she went away right after that. And then she pops back up and said that she has this kid. I don't think that's Forrest's baby.
Does the kid have like a stutter and walk around like he's got problems with the legs like old Forrest? It was definitely his kid.
He tilted his, he had that little head tilt. And that's how everybody thinks that was
his kid.
No, dude. I'm telling you, I've seen that movie so many times. There's nothing you can convince me to believe that was to make
Forrest
me think that was
Gump
Forrest Gump's kid.
Junior.
I'm telling you, I legitimately believe. I actually forgot. I mean, I didn't forget about this one. Jesse Smollett's performance might be the best one we've seen since this one.
When you have somebody that you talk to every single day, that you sleep with on the phone because she's going through a lot of things, and the only way that she can sleep is if she knows that you're on the other side of the phone. And you do that every single night for the past 4 months. And all of a sudden it's silence. That silence really eats at you.
You want to know how I realize that there's no such thing as having a team distraction? Because I mean this in all seriousness. If Brandon created a fake story about a fictional girlfriend with cancer, I would make fun of Brandon for it every single day of my life. I couldn't move forward if that was the case. Bro, how can you tell me anything? You created a fake girlfriend. The fact that Manti Te'o could still go play in the NFL after having that happen, and it essentially just went away. And it also made me believe another theory when it comes to PR. All you got to do in 99% of cases is ride it out for the first 48 hours. You don't have to explain anything in 2018, 2019. You don't have to explain anything. Think about it. You could come over right now on the air and punch me in the face. No reason. Just punch me in the face. It'll be a big deal on Twitter for a day. And then if you never explain why you punched me, and then let's say 3 days from now I bring it up. Yo, why'd you punch me? Have the text line like, shut up, this is old news. We don't care anymore. I'm telling you, you don't never have to talk about things in 2019. You just got to ride out public perception. The fact that we as a society let Manti Te'o have a full relationship with a fictional person and never really explained the details, and he just got to live his life normal. I'm telling you, there's nothing you can't get away with in 2019.
What do you think he or we as a viewing society should have done? I think we handled it the way that we were supposed to. Like, the dude was embarrassed. He had a fake girlfriend. You just want us to keep talking about it, keep leading off every show with it, just pouring, you know, gasoline on the flames. He's already embarrassed enough. When's the last time you made up a fake friend or a fake girlfriend, and then it got out to the entire world? Trust me, that was his punishment.
You shouldn't be able to come back to work until you explain it. I'm serious. You shouldn't be able to come back. Like, this Jesse Smollett character, once he goes to jail and he comes back, he shouldn't be allowed to act again until he explains to us what happened. I want to really hear your side of the story. Manti Te'o never really explained
this. Manti Te'o should have stuck to his guns. He literally should have just ended friendships and just been like, if you don't believe me, then we're not friends. And just, he should have taken it to the altar. If I'm Manti Te'o, I have a fake wedding and a fake family, and I take this to the grave with me.
Someone on the text line says, the best crying scene was Will Smith in Fresh Prince about his dad not wanting him. I'll give you a hot take here, BK, if you want to hit the hot take horn. I actually don't even think that's Will Smith's best crying scene. The scene he has in a Pursuit of Happiness with his son, where he's sitting there and he has his son convinced they're playing a game and they're sleeping in a train station bathroom as he's holding on this 1987 Apple computer that nobody wants to buy.
It's a really good scene.
That scene gets me every time,
but the audio is just not very good. It's just all visual. It grips you.
That scene gets me good. I'm not going to lie to you. That scene gets me good. It gets me every single time. He's sitting there, and he's holding his son, and he's sitting there crying. Pursuit of Happiness, very underrated Will Smith movie. Very underrated. I don't feel like he gets his proper respect.
Do you have the best crying scene in a movie?
I do. I looked it up earlier today. This is another one that I wanted to use. But again, the audio just not very good for what we're doing here in this medium with, you know, having to hear things. I would say the best one that I found in terms of what it sounds like audio wise is this one.
What's the matter with me?
Enough.
I'm difficult.
You're challenging.
I'm too structured. I'm completely closed off.
But in a good way.
That is from When Harry Met Sally. I think in terms of comedy, that's a pretty good one.
What about Matt Damon and Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting?
It's a great one. It's a great one. That's the one that I wanted to use.
When's the last time you guys cried while watching a movie?
I've never cried watching a movie.
Shocker. Your entire life.
Ever, my entire life.
You never cried when the Little Giants scored the touchdown?
No.
You got to be kidding.
There's like millions of movies just like the Little Giants where...
Dear John.
Where... the underdog team overcomes the big bad bully and wins. That happens. I would didn't cry at every movie.
I cried when Tom Hanks lost Wilson. I'm a very emotional person during movies. I cried during Harry and the Hendersons on the TV show when Harry had to go away.
I've actually never seen Castaway before. I've never seen Green Mile before. I feel like I've missed a lot of
Green Mile. That's a good one.
I'd go Green Mile before Castaway. Yeah, Castaway is good. Green Mile is great.
A lot of people on text line are saying that Will Smith, whenever his dog dies in I Am Legend, I haven't seen I Am Legend in a long time. I kind of like blocked that from my mind. That was a really good movie with a really bad ending that just always soured me on the movie.
That part is so sad, though. That's all he had left. That's all anybody had left was his puppers and his dog died.
Oh, somebody brought up G-Baby when G-Baby died in Hardball.
Also very
sad.
Does
anybody cry, though? I don't really remember anybody crying. It's sad. I don't know if anybody cries.
Not a movie, but Where's Wallace? That moment, that one will get you going.
I cried during Free Willy, bro. It doesn't take much for me.
Okay. Wow. I don't want to talk about this ever again with you. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.